In 1910, the United States opened the Angel Island Immigration Station in California's San Francisco Bay. For 30 years, more than 56,000 Chinese immigrants were detained there, some for months or even years. A century later, President Barack Obama declared January 21, 2010, National Angel Island Day to remember the lessons of those who, in the president's words, were unjustly confined. But on any given day now, some 34,000 people with questionable immigration status are held in modern detention centers across the country. Carlos Hidalgo was one of them.
The process starts by being in a holding tank. There's no life to it. It just echoes, you know. You see that how helpless you feel, how impotent you are to the system, but you don't know what's going to happen next.
Hidalgo is one of the voices featured in the new multimedia project, Detention Stories, Life Inside California's New Angel Island. It's produced by CIVIC, or Community Initiatives for Visiting Immigrants in Confinement. Christina Fialo is its co-founder, and Christina joins us now. Welcome to you. And Christina, first, let's just talk about the original Angel Island. It's now a National Historic Landmark, right?
That's correct. It was the very first immigration detention facility in California. And we wanted to draw the connection between the history of immigration detention in the early 1900s to the present, where we are detaining in California alone over 5,000 people in immigration detention each day.
Mm. Well, the original Angel Island facility, I believe, opened in, what, 1910? And some 56,000, if not more, Chinese immigrants spent considerable amounts of time there. So tell us a little bit more about the different processing facilities that you visit or talk about in the documentary today.
So Congress has mandated that every day in this country, we must detain at minimum 34,000 people in county jails and for-profit prisons as part of the U.S. immigration detention system. And actually, no other law enforcement agency has a quota for the number of people they must keep in jail. And people in this actual civil form of confinement lack many of the safeguards of the Constitution. So, for example, a person in immigration detention has no right to a court-appointed attorney. So 84% of people in immigration detention are unrepresented. There's no right to a speedy trial. There's no right even to exclude illegally obtained evidence in immigration court. And there's no legally protected right to receive visits from family members or the community.
Well, the documentary, Life Inside California's New Angel Island, is a mix of writings and videos about the lives of seven people who've been in California immigration detention facilities. Marcela Castro spent 6 months in the James A. Music Facility in Irvine. She's been released, and she, too, joins us now from NPR West. Marcela, welcome.
Hi, thank you.
Well, I wonder if you could first just tell us, how is it that you came from Costa Rica and ended up at the James A. Music Facility in Irvine?
No, I don't want to answer that.
Why not?
Well, I really don't want to talk about the specific stuff.
I think there's certain legal questions that we spoke with her attorney that she doesn't necessarily feel comfortable answering.
But I feel like, help me understand, though. I think people are deeply curious to know how it is that you ended up there versus in other avenues or channels of the U.S. immigration system.
Okay, I didn't was looking for an asylum because I didn't know exactly what it is. And what I was trying to, it was to be in a nice, safety place. So for that reason, I just came to this country. I just came over the airplane. I just arrived and they just canceled my visa in immigration department because they said that they were willing to help me. And that's the only explanation that they give it to me. Like, if they were willing to help me, they were supposed to put me on a detention place.
What was the facility like when you first arrived?
It was really terrifying for me because I couldn't remember phone numbers, or I couldn't use my computer. I couldn't make phone calls. I basically disappear from everything, and you just don't have any options.
You know, hearing this reminds me of the fact that Chinese immigrants in the old Angel Island facility, I guess they often carved poems into the wooden walls of the detention center there. One of them read that, "Twice I have passed through the blue ocean, experienced the wind and dust of journey, and confinement in the wooden building has pained me doubly." I mean, Christina, do you hear a lot of the same feelings in the writings and artwork featured in the current documentary?
Definitely. And actually, in one of the audio recordings, two individuals who were detained first in what they call an ice chest, basically. It's a cold room that people can be left there for days and weeks before they're transferred to a detention facility. And one of them talks about seeing on the wall written that somebody, a young girl, had died in that cell.
Mm-hmm. Marcella, I'd actually like to ask you a particular question, which we on this program have asked immigration experts many, many times. And I'm just curious what you think, because there are a lot of people out there who say that for as long as these cases are in limbo, or the claims of the immigrants are being investigated, that detention is the best place for them because they have uncertain legal status in the United States. So why shouldn't they be held in places like this? And I'm just wondering if, you know, what your answer is to a question like that.
Well, actually, it's not fair to be in a detention right now for anybody. But even though when you are out, it's also a limbo too, because you have to be following the rules that they want. You cannot work. You just have to depend from somebody else.
And Christina, what's your answer to that same question? I mean, what other options, if not these detention facilities, should immigration services be pursuing when they're managing so many thousands of cases?
Well, the immigration detention system has really exploded over the last 15 years. It went from just about 6,000 people in immigration detention pre-1996 to now 34,000. And there are alternatives to detention that are even cheaper than what we pay as taxpayers for the expansion of the immigration detention system.
Can you give us some examples?
Sure. There's community supervision programs that are being run by nonprofits. There are also other monitoring devices like an ISAP program. Not ideal, but definitely better than detention.
Well, Christina Fiallo is co-founder of CIVIC, Community Initiatives for Visiting Immigrants in Confinement. They just put out a new online multimedia project called Detention Stories, Life Inside California's New Angel Island. Christina, thank you so much for speaking with us.
Thank you.
And Marcella Castro, one of the immigrants featured in the project, she's from Costa Rica and was recently released from detention. Marcella, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Here and Now is a production of NPR and WBUR Boston in association with the BBC World Service. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is Here and Now.